Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul.
Along with my co-host Paul Mack.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here, and the usual Mr. Paul Mack this way. I keep doing it inverted. I don't know. Threw me off. Good evening, sir. How you doing this evening, Mr. Mack?
Good to be back, bud. Good to be back. Took a little week off. It was nice. I have a little week off, but you know, we're here now.
Absolutely.
Some stuff's happening in the world. We're here.
Oh, yeah, man. A lot of stuff going on, man. And yeah, we took a week off last week. I had two Magic home games, and basketball is one of those sports that we just kind of really just, as the information comes in, we just give out the content that way until playoffs.
How about those Magic, pal?
Orlando Magic, Orlando Magic, Orlando Magic.
Oh, six in a row?
Five in a row, man. I'm gonna talk about them, man. I'm super excited, man. I listen, it's four seed. It's cool, man, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Knicks are on us. Heat are on us. I'm watching the Heat game right now on my teleprompter, so that's how invested I am. Paul, it's crazy because I haven't felt this way in a while. Like, I'm invested into March and April because my team is in the midst of things. Usually we're, time for a lottery. Let me look at March Madness and see who's going to be the decent prospect coming out.
It's one of those things that we talked about earlier in the year whenever this was all beginning, right? Like you mentioned the Magic's tough road stretch that they had, you know, a little bit before the All-Star break. And now they are doing what teams should do, and they're capitalizing on a pretty light schedule. Like they had a pretty light schedule, and they had some home games. So they're taking care of the business that needs to be taken care of. And that's, I think, the difference between this team and previous teams, is they're winning the games they should win.
Yeah. And it's crazy because all their core players are like under 23. And so Amen. This is a testament for them to be this high. And that young is just like absolutely bonkers, man. So
Paolo missed a little bit again. He was a little sick or whatever. And I know they sit Franz every once in a while when they have back to backs and whatnot, but I mean, Wendell Carter's back. He's doing his thing. You know, you guys are looking good.
Yeah, man. Shout out. I got a segment ready for them boys. I'm going to do a deep dive on them. So I'm super excited as a Magic fan. As Jeff Weltman like to say, it is a wonderful time to be a Magic fan. So it really is a wonderful time to be a Magic fan. So let's start off with some teams that were streaking. So I take these notes and I update them as they come in. I must have cursed the two teams that I had on the notes over here.
I had the Bucks
at the time. They was 5-0. Now they lost a game last night. They're 6-1. They're still streaking pretty well. Then the Celtics as well. We're going to talk about the Celtics. They was on the streak, and they lost. So I guess I must have cursed these teams, man. So I don't feel bad, by the way, because I really want them to. It is what it is, but – I must have cursed them, man. But anyways, the Bucks are streaking, man. They're coming out the All-Star break. They're 6-1. Tell me what you're seeing in the Bucks, man.
I mean, emphasis on defense. I mean, they weren't playing very good defense. With Adrian Griffin, they were kind of a middle of the road defense. Relied a lot on the offense, and now those two stats kind of shifted a little bit. They still have offensive firepower, but obviously with some of the injuries they've had with like Chris Middleton and some of these guys, they've really, which is weird for a Doc Rivers team. I know his emphasis is always defense, but his teams are never great at defense. But their defensive efficiency has really switched. And you know, they were putting some team. I mean, it helps, but I think they played like the Memphis Grizzlies like two nights in a row or something like that, like a back to back. And that was those games got out of hand real fast. I think they beat Memphis by like almost 50 points or something like that the other, like last week or something. But you know, I mean, it's the schedule, it's all those things you gotta do right coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, Dame was hot during the All-Star break. He's doing what Dame has to do. Giannis at times looks completely unstoppable. But I mean, their schedule over those five games, you know, they've taken care of business with what they had to take care of, and it'll be interesting to see, because Golden State came out last night and put one on them, which I didn't expect. No. I mean, there was a point where they were almost up by 30, so it was crazy to see. But you know, they give up a lot of threes. Against the Warriors, they're going to shoot a lot of threes, so that might kind of be the Bucks' kryptonite a little bit. But you know, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, man. Looking at the Bucks, man, we mentioned their system won their last games that they played here, getting hot in the right time. Giannis is really taking off, man. He had in five games, 23 versus the Wizards, 46 versus the Bulls, 24 in their series back to back against the Hornets, and 30 versus the Sixers. So. That was a game that didn't have Tyrese Maxey. They were missing, by the way. Dame, as we mentioned, it's Dame time. And Giannis came out and said, hey, you know, this is Damian Lillard's team. And that's that speaks a lot about Giannis, just ability to be a fantastic teammate. We know, honestly, it is Giannis' team. But for him to be selfless and know where they need to go, like, Dame is the one that's got to take control of the ball, at least on the offense side of the ball. Dame is 42% from the field in the last five games. He at least hit 44% from three out of four of the last five games. So it's really been just them coming together. Their bench has been coming on. Bobby Portis, when one player, I believe Giannis said, I won these games, and Bobby Portis had like 25-some points. And that was the game that Dame went off like 40-some points. So their bench is coming alive. Pat Bev, been a good pickup for them on the defense side of the ball, being the pest. So they're in the middle of their road trip right now. As you mentioned, they got handed pretty badly by the Warriors. Oddly enough, the Warriors turned around and really got spanked by the Celtics. So I guess they returned the favor to another team. So basketball is a funny sport like that, man. It could be one of those games, man, that everything that you throw up. And it could be three or four players, man. It just go in the bucket. No matter what you throw up there, you can throw up there blindfold, and it's going in. And Warriors must have got pissed off about how, you know, they got laid to smack it down by the Celtics, and they came out and got some home cooking and really took it to a surging Bucks team that is pretty much going at the right time. Now, they're in the middle of their road trip. They dropped the Warriors game, obviously. And they got the Lakers on Friday. Lakers has been playing pretty well. They're trying to figure some stuff out. They've been up and down. They're in that play-in range that they're trying to get out the playoff. This is a cool thing about having this play-in at the end of the playoffs. At one point, you get to eight, you're in no matter what. You get to the sixth spot, you got to get the sixth spot to get away from that play-in to avoid elimination. So it adds this extra intrigue until March and April because of that. So Lakers are going to come out fighting and hungry against this Bucks team that really have a tough schedule to close down the schedule here, out of the season here. Then they got the Clippers and the Kings. That is a gauntlet of a road trip. So I imagine this, Paul. They already lost a game to the Warriors. They're pretty much playing everybody in Pacific except the Suns. how many games they need to win for this to be a successful road trip. But this is a brutal road trip right here that they got there in the midst of.
I mean, they could beat the Lakers. It just depends on, obviously, what Lakers team shows up. You know, obviously, that's a prime time ESPN game. So, you know, LeBron, AD, everybody should be playing. Yeah. I doubt you'll get another 30-point game out of Austin Reeves. I don't think that is going to happen again. I think Milwaukee's better defensively now. So, I mean, looking at what you're looking at of those next three games, I mean, I would imagine the Clippers at home. You know, I know they're dealing with some injuries we're going to cover later on, but I think the Clippers are a team that when operating on all cylinders and everybody's out there, actually that's a tough matchup for anybody. You know, with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, it's always a tough time. You know, help these Dubots on the offensive and defensive glass. And a similar thing with Sacramento, right? Sacramento's a great rebounding team. But they give up a lot of points. So I think that could be one that Milwaukee can get pretty easily if they get ahead early. I think if that game stays close, it can get hairy, but they should easily be able to get two of the next three before they head back home. And also, my apologies, it was Charlotte that they demolished like two games in a row. So I know Memphis is dealing with a lot this year with injuries, so I don't want to pick on the Grizzlies too much because they're literally a G League team right now. It was Charlotte they beat by like almost 60 points the other day, and they had a home and home. So that's a good way to start a little win streak after the All-Star break. But it's interesting that the Clippers game is, I mean, it's on NBA League Pass, so that's not like a nationally televised game. I don't know who else is playing on Sunday, but that'd be one I'd be interested in watching. But you know, James Harden, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard up against Giannis and Dame. But I think they could pull out two of the next three and have some real momentum going into their homestand.
Yeah, like you said, it depends what AD shows up with the Lakers. If you get AB that get double-doubles and he's into the 20s and scoring, and they're hard to beat. He's engaged on the defensive end. He know how to attack the boards. This dude is able to switch from one to five. So, and then you got to guard that with Giannis, who comes at you full force. As long as you stay out of foul trouble, it'll be a tough game. But if you get them in foul trouble and AD in foul trouble and rely on, which LeBron's doing a fantastic job, but you really need AD to carry you this game against the Bucks. So that game's a toss-up. You know, I do believe that the Bucks will probably end up getting that win.
The Clippers Lakers are a bad like rim protecting team aside from Anthony Davis. So Giannis should just have a time, I think.
Absolutely. So Clippers, did you mention they got the length and versatility to guard Giannis? They can come with Kawhi and Paul George and go at him, and then you got some pieces off the bench that can really go at him, big size. So Zoo got Plumlee. Like, you can throw some bodies at with the Clippers against him. The Kings defense, I think Sabonis is playing. I thought he had an injury, but I think Sabonis is playing. But their defense is always hit and miss with the Kings. They're really good at home, though. So you don't come playing around. They'll shoot you out the gym. They really beam you out the gym. They like the beam. That's what they do. So,
yeah, they're just going to try to outscore you. That's their whole MO.
Yeah. Get two games on this road trip is a success. This is a brutal road trip for the Bucks. And their schedule is tough, but as Dame said at the All-Star break, he went one other way. Listen, this is where you're you're going, you're ready for postseason play, so why not go against the best teams and see where your barometer is at? So let's see there for the challenge and go with that. So speaking of Clippers, a couple of injuries, man. I know this was also like, you know, down the playoff stretch run, all these injuries kind of pop up, unfortunately. Russell Westbrook and Scottie Barnes ended up with fractured hands. It was last Friday that this happened. To me, man, you got Russell. He fractured his left hand against the Wizards last Friday. Now, Woj did come out and say that he's optimistic that he can come out for the playoffs. Talk to me about Russell Westbrook and, you know, because this is a guy that started 10 games. The Clippers, when they acquired James Harden, they was trying to make him all forfeit. And Russell was the one that took the stand and said, hey, I believe it would flow better if I come off the bench. And just the team player that he is exemplifying by doing that is bigger than himself. What has Russell Westbrook really mean to this success? And if he does come back before the playoffs, talk to me about Russell Westbrook impact and what he means to this Clippers team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's huge. Mostly because, like, I mean, again, for a guy who's started his whole career to just basically say, hey, I'll come off the bench, not a big deal. Because, you know, Ty Lue does, you know, great things with Russell Westbrook. He commands the second unit. So he's out there with the second unit. He plays a little bit with the starters, but he's always going to close the game. So, like, towards the end of the game, you're going to see him on the floor with James Harden, with Paul George, with Kawhi Leonard. So, I mean, it's one of those things. He's like that guy, like a Jamal Crawford, one of those kind of guys where he doesn't start the game, but he still plays big minutes. And he can still stuff the stat sheet in limited minutes, which is impressive. I mean, he's taking care of the ball. He's, you know, he can hit perimeter shots when he has to. But he's just a lot more of a facilitator, which, you know, when James Harden's off the floor, that's huge for the Clippers. So, you know, it's always cool to see those kind of guys, like the ego guys who, you know, late in their careers don't want to come off the bench. I'm a starter, blah, 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 blah. And just to buy in and be like, this team's really good. We have a chance to, you know, potentially win a championship. And there's a lot going for the Clippers. They got, you know, a new arena next year, all this stuff and all this hype behind them. And it's just, you'd love to see a player at this point of their career, especially with how many teams he's been on in the last few years. I mean, he's kind of been, you know, tossed around. Nobody kind of wanted him. You know, good for Russ, because Russ can still play. Guy's all energy all the time. He's going to give you 110%, whether he's playing 10 minutes, whether he's playing 30 minutes, whether he's playing, you know, 48 minutes, doesn't matter. So, yeah, I mean, he's an important piece to that, because a lot of these teams that are in these runs, you know, they have guys that can fill the floor when the starters come off. So those guys are important. Those six mans, you don't necessarily need a deep team. Like, you don't need like a, you know, you don't need a 10 man rotation. But if you have a strong bench guy who can keep you in games when your second unit comes in, typically to end the first quarter or you know, start the second quarter, and then also be able to close games, it's huge. So, I mean, he knows his role and he knows how important that is, and he embraces it. And, you know, you just hope that he can get back before the end of the season and ready for the postseason, because the Clippers, you know, in a 7-game series, the Clippers could really cause some trouble. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, Russell is he's averaging 11 points and 4 assists and 5 rebounds off the bench. His running mate, Norm Powell, is in the running for assist man of the year. They just got a really good bench. With the core that they have, they're fourth in the West right now, 40 wins and 21 losses. They at one point in time, because it's just the whole playoff standings, or at least the standings from the East and the West, is just bonkers. Just about a week and a half ago, Clippers was number one. Mm-hmm. Now they're four, and they're matched up with the Pelicans, who are also coming on strong as well. Zion's got a heartbeat, and Brandon Ingram is taking over. Trey Murphy III is hitting threes all over the place. And so that could be a exciting matchup for the first round. You just never know.
Because they were without McCollum for a little bit, and now McCollum's healthy. Brandon Ingram's healthy. You know, they really got that point forward thing with Zion happening, where he's controlling the ball a lot more, which is giving Brandon Ingram and these guys more opportunities to be off the ball and make plays. So It's crazy how just week to week the West is just shifting as far as positioning. Like it's always the same teams, but the way they're dropping and the way they're rising, the matchups for the postseason are going to be interesting. Like who matches up with who gets the better matchup.
For sure. And that's why I say it is encouraging, because a broken hand, you imagine it'd be out. But usually in that spec like that, is players typically miss a month and a half. This is according to there's a report that came off CBS Sports and Woj. They saying that type of injury usually is a miss of a month and a half. So good to see Russ come back on here, because I really got the Clippers coming out of the West. That's my little preview before we do our playoff preview podcast here. But I think the Clippers can do it, man. And Russ is a big part of what they're doing. And they get the right matchup and start off strong here. And sky's the limit for this team. But, you know, it's just unfortunate to that. And then another injury. It really doesn't really pat the playoffs too much. But it's just this is the future of this franchise. So Scottie Barnes also hurt his hand. He went and got surgery on it. So it seems like they haven't determined the time he'll come back, but I'm imagining they're shutting him down because the Raptors are really not in position for the postseason. Barnes was the first time All-Star, had 19 points, averaged 6 points or six assists per game, 8 rebounds per game. Really is their point four of their system. They kind of went this route to hand the Kings over to him once they traded Siakam and OG Anunoby. So they picked up Manuel quickly. They picked up RJ Barnes, picked up some Michigan pieces to go young, some draft pick, and try to go the route where Scotty is going to be the face of this franchise. Talk to me about Scotty Barnes' impact. And this was the rookie of the year 3 years ago. And this injury that is trying to develop a kind of chemistry among Manuel quickly and RJ Barrett with him. So I know you know those two guys very well. And what do you see that they're trying to build here, unfortunate Scotty Barnes injury?
I mean, the benefit that they have is that they're so far out that it doesn't matter, you know? I mean, they're 23-39. So, you know, let your cornerstone, you know, piece get healthy. You know, take care of him as much as you can. You know, let RJ and these guys get comfortable with the system, with the team. Let them do their thing. I mean, the way that they've utilized RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly, you know, it's far better than the Knicks did. So, you know, kudos to that. I mean, they really found their role. You know, the Knicks were more of a, you know, throw RJ in a corner and let him kind of work off the ball, where with Toronto, he's a primary ball handler that can kind of create his own shot and create shots for other guys. I think at first, like, him and Scotty Barnes is, you know, they kind of didn't mesh exactly because their games are kind of similar. But Scotty Barnes, man, he can stuff a stat sheet. So I mean, he's a guy that, you know, like you said, was rookie of the year 3 years ago. A lot of upside, first time All Star this year. You know, to get your guys healthy, get your guys right, and just, you know, plan for next season if you're going to keep all these guys around. I mean, we got a sample size of kind of how they would look, you know, with Barnes and RJ and Emmanuel quickly and Jacob Poeltl and all these guys. You know, Gary Trent Jr. You know, I mean, some games look great, some games they don't, but it's a young team, so they're going to have their ups and downs. But it's better to just sit him and just make sure he's 100%. You don't want to rush him back, and then that's an injury that kind of carries him throughout his career. You don't want to deal with that kind of stuff with a young guy. So, you know, just shut him down, play with what you got, play spoiler. You know, but, yep, you know, it sucks that you see people get hurt, but, you know, at least it's just a hand injury. So he should be all right.
Definitely. Let me check on you, man. Where were you at when you saw Jalen Brunson knee injury? Were you okay?
I immediately had Derrick Rose flashbacks all over again. I was like, oh, Thibodeau killed another one. But apparently it's just a knee contusion, so he should be okay. But classic Tom Thibodeau, man. You just got to worry about that guy running people into the ground. I mean, Brunson plays a lot of minutes. You know, he plays hard. He's in there. He doesn't really rest much, like even on back-to-backs and all that stuff. Like, he doesn't rest a whole lot. The guy gets significant play. So, I mean, with, you know, Randall still trying to come back from the dislocated shoulder, you know, Hartenstein was out for a bit. You hate to kind of see the injuries stack up, especially at this point of the year when they're sitting at, you know, were they fifth right now?
Fifth right now, yeah.
Were they a game behind the Magic? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, they're a lot of upside. So when you see your star go down, obviously you gasp and you hope it's, especially with a knee. Like, you never know with a knee.
Yeah, man.
Someone goes down with a knee. Yeah, like, you immediately don't know what it is. So luckily it's not that. It shouldn't be too bad. Say it's a knee contusion. So they'll sit him a couple games. But they're still in a really good position. Obviously, again, Randall should be coming back soon. Yeah, they made some big trades at the trade deadline. Bojan's doing well. He's fitting in well. So, you know, they got all those guys from Detroit. But, yeah, so they got deeper. So that helps them is they have a deeper rotation, which I think should hopefully throughout the rest of the regular season kind of be able to give Brunson a little bit of a deload. So you should have to run him as much. Knee injuries are always terrifying. And literally when I found out and I heard what happened was I had him, I think I had someone in a parlay, one of the bench guards, and scored like 10 points. And the game had just started and it was like 2-3 minutes in and he was already in the game. And I was like, what the hell happened? And I looked and it said Brunson Lee. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Plus side was Buddy hit for me. So that was great. But you know, you still have to look at it like, oh no, not good. But yeah. Hey, he's a dog, you know, he'll be all right. But I know all of Knick Nation was holding their breath for a little bit there.
Yeah, man. I was talking to some of my Knicks fans that I know that I'm cool with, and they felt the same way as you did, Paul. It was like knee injuries and Tom Thibodeau running these guys to the ground. And I told him, I said, man, you know what? It's actually a blessing in disguise because some of these guys get rest. Your main core guys, your star guys get some rest for the postseason, and they're ready to go. So as long as you can kind of stay within that, you know, 4-6 range and get these guys rested up, it bodes well for the Knicks. Give them a little bit of rest and go from there. But I apparently talked to one of my buddies. I think Brunson is coming back Friday, is what he was saying, which I'm shocked about that because I haven't heard any reports that he's come back Friday. But
insider, he's classic Knicks insider information.
Yeah. So I'm like, really? I was like, I thought he was going to be out for a few weeks. But
Knicks fans always know before everybody else.
Yeah. What I'm saying. But
I live by the creed. If I don't see per Woj after it, I don't believe it.
Yo, okay. Hey, that is fair. But no, Brunson, his type of game that he plays, you mentioned, he gets points in the paint. He's a little bulldog. He throws body around. He's stocky. He's built pretty well. But
he's tough.
He throws body around. Yeah. So Brunson's really easy to root for, too. You know, the way he plays and the way he carries himself, such a laid-back guy. You can listen to his podcast. You get more of his personality. He's an easy guy to root for. So you just when you saw that, leaving me as like just a fan, like, man, that sucks, man. Because Brunson is literally putting that team on his back, man.
100%.
And, it's a driving force. So with the piece that they added with Bogey and Alex Burks and all these shooters that they have now to put them around him and Brunson and Randall and OG when he comes back, OG can defend the best player and he also can spread the floor and handle the ball. So Knicks' outlook looked pretty good, man. So, but you just hope he gets healthy. One of those little injury things, you get scared, man, because this is the push. This is where basketball in general, all basketball is entertaining, even NCAA. We'll talk about that whenever they release the bracketology. Like, all this stuff is just a sign in March and April because this is the final run here. And the way that I mentioned before, just the play-in has added to that. It's just there's so much intrigue and separation and all that. So I've been keeping tabs on the Minnesota-Indiana game. That game side. Come on, Minnesota. Help me out here. Beat the Pacers.
Carlton Towns just went down, too. That's another tough one for Minnesota.
Yeah, man. So, like, yeah. And then they saying that he'll be back soon, too. But, like, all these injuries, man. So, just, like, get yourselves right, man. I want a fantastic postseason this year. And try to get a clean bill, have best as we can. So, the playoff races we mentioned, we can pull up the standings and talk about how close this is. Let's pull this up here.
Before we dive into the postseason, as exciting as the postseason race is, I have my eyes on who will finish as the worst team in the East between Washington and Detroit, because Detroit. Man, they're competitive, man. Like, but just since the trade deadline, since they made those trades, like, they're in a lot of games.
They are.
And they had a stretch of like three or four games where they're losing at the wire. Like, they're losing at the end of the game, man. And it's just, you know, they're young. And according to the standings right now, they're 14th and Washington is 15th. So, you know, shout out Detroit Pistons. Shout out the Pistons. Let's just see them get a couple more wins. But for as bad as everybody was talking about the Detroit Pistons, Washington Wizards are pretty goddamn bad.
Can I tell you that when the Wizards was up by 21 at one point, it's the Magic, I'm like, there's no way they can lose this game. I'm like, this game's all ready to turn it off and whatnot. Now they chipped away, got it within to like single digits, going to halftime and got it to like 11. Then they made that run and won by double digits. I'm like, what in the world? The Wizards are really this bad, man.
That bad, bro. They're that bad.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
They should have won that game. They should have beat us. They should have beat us, man. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole is going off.
Mr. Plus Minus Jordan Poole is now designated to a bench role. He ain't even starting no more.
Right. And it's apparently it's been working for him.
Well, yeah, because now he just gets to go out there and just shoot. He don't have to be the point guard anymore.
Yeah, and play against lower tier players, and you pay him all that money. But
yeah, because him and Kuzma on the court at the same time just ain't it.
It's pure comedy, man. Pure comedy. And that Kuz sent out a tweet 2 months ago. Don't want to be that team to lose to him. Now y'all that team. And guess what? In a few weeks, because the Wizards have lost 16 straight. Two games from now, they play the Detroit Pistons.
Oh boy.
Talk about the stink bowl.
Oh boy.
Listen, I have remember when my team was part of the stink fest. I'm gonna tell you a story with the Magic and the Pistons. It was St. Patty's Day. There was only one NBA game. The Pistons at the Magic. The Pistons at the Magic. Everybody's getting pissed drunk that day. Don't really care. And this game was on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The only basketball game. So I know what it's like to be a part of piss bowl, and it absolutely sucks. So piss bowl is coming soon between the Pistons and the Warriors.
I'm sure it won't be on TV. So yeah, don't worry about it.
Nah, it'll probably be on the WB channel.
And Telemundo.
Say for real. Game coming to you by Tubi.
Straight up.
All right, so let's look at the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. So Boston just running away. They already done clinched a postseason berth, by the way. They're the only team right now that clinched a postseason berth.
Only having 13 losses will do that for you.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good at home. They only lost 3 games at home, so they're really, really good at home, man. Bucks, 41-22. Cleveland got 40 wins, and then 4 if it goes from the Magic, the Knicks, the Heat, the 76ers, Pacers, and all of them are within the win of each other, one game apart. You look at it, Knicks are a half game behind them. Heat are a full game behind the Magic. 76ers and the Pacers are at least about 2 games behind the Magic. In the West, it's getting even crazier in the West. The T-Wolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder are tied right now for number 1 seed. The Nuggets is 1 game behind them. The Clippers is 2.5. And then you go from 5 to 10, where you got the Pelicans, the Suns, the Kings, the Mavericks, the Warriors, and the Lakers going from 37 to 33 wins. What is up with this playoff race in both conferences here, man?
I mean, I'll tell you what's crazy is the decline of the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, I know Joel Embiid has been out, but I mean, they were what, sitting around the 2, and now they're down to the 7.
Yeah.
Oof. And then you have a team like Cleveland sitting at 3, just turning it on at the right time. You know, Milwaukee and Boston were just so far ahead of everybody else. I think that's the difference. I mean, just against the division, Boston's 15-1 against their division. I mean, that's just taking care of business, whether you're on the road or at home. Where Philly's been struggling in their division. Philly's 5-7 against the division. God damn, Boston's played a lot of division games. Jesus Christ. And then same thing with the Heat, man. The Heat are just raking their division. They're 11-2 in the division. So it's just matchups, man. I mean, home and away record, 17-13, 18-13. Meanwhile, you got Boston 29-3. They're a little more vulnerable on the road, 19-10. But I mean, the cream always rises to the top. You know, Boston's really good. Regardless of what happened, you know, the other day, you know, losing that lead, they're still a really good team. When they're operating on all cylinders, I mean, this is probably the best version of Kristaps Porzingis we've seen. Yeah. Since he's been in the league. I mean, he just fits in so perfectly with that team with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Derek White, you know, just that guy, just a hardworking man, Derek White. He'll guard the best guy on the other team. And he'll still get you, you know, 18-5-5. It's just a crazy team, and then you can't express the importance of Jrue Holiday. Like Milwaukee letting Jrue Holiday go and Boston picking him up. Boston couldn't have asked for a bigger, you know, gift to fall into their lap than was getting a Jrue Holiday. You know, they play defense, they rebound. Boston's just that much better than everybody else. So,
do you see a weakness with Boston? I feel like they don't really have a true big man with them. And
yeah,
that may be a problem in the postseason.
But also in the Eastern Conference, though, I mean, aside from Joel Embiid and Giannis,
Bam Adebayo?
Yeah, Bam. But I mean, that's really what I got to worry about. So, depending on who their first round matchup would be.
Miles Turner,
you know,
spread them out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
and then Cleveland got Jared Allen.
Evan Mobley's back too. You know, he
had an injury, didn't he?
Yeah, he got hurt the other day, but I think he'll be okay. I mean, I think he's just dealing with injuries, but I mean, even the Magic have given Boston fits. It's not about that. Yeah, Magic have given Boston some fits now. So. Yeah, I mean, I think it just becomes a thing of size. Like they're, you know, they have guys that play defense, but, you know, I think the stretch guys or like the long wings that can handle the ball and get to the rim are their weakness. So I mean, I think Paolo does really well against them. You know, someone like a Bam probably does really well against them. But I mean, that's really the only weakness they have. I mean. Jason Tatum right now is otherworldly. You know, that's a bona fide star.
Yeah. Thank you for, because I did jump a topic, and I think we got into Celtics. Thank to you, segue to that. So perfect by you, Paul, the way you did that. I appreciate it because I kind of jumped to the postseason when I missed the Celtics segment and how perfect that it was that you kind of segue and talk about the Celtics. It was fantastic, by the way, because I jumped the topic. So thank you, sir. 11-game winning streak that they had was stopped by the Cavs, as Paul mentioned, it was kind of stopped by Dean Wade. Dean Wade went, oh, man, he went bananas on them, bro. And the thing was, the Celtics had like a double-digit lead.
Dude, they were up huge.
Like, and then Dean Wade just went berserk. He turned a prime Larry Bird. He went off.
And that's without Donovan Mitchell, too.
Messed up my parlay, man. I picked the Celtics to win that game, man. If you pick the Cavaliers to win that game, you made some money. But shout out. Listen, Celtics are playing fantastic. That's why I mentioned the pod. Just worry about their size. At home, as we mentioned, they're damn near unbeatable. So they're the best team in the NBA record-wise. So you got to go up there. You know, down on Boston Street. So I know about Boston. I lived there for a few years. So they play on Boston Street. It's a tough environment to play up there in the garden. So, or my bad, the garden. So, no, that team, man, Tatum is shooting above 55% from three in three of the last of the five games. He grabbed double-digit rebounds in two of the last five games. Jaylen Brown is averaging 27 points per game over the last five and shooting above 40% in those games. Kristaps Porzingis, as Paul mentioned, is pretty much the best version of himself since he was drafted in the Knicks uniform. This they got a wild road trip that they're in right now, so they got the Nuggets tonight. That's going to be a fun game tonight. It's going to be an excellent game because, as we mentioned about size, this could be a potential NBA Finals matchup, and we kind of see like a sneak preview of how Jokic is being played against this type of Celtics team. And Celtics perimeter defense is out this world. They're third in the NBA in defense. Or no, my bad. They're fourth, I believe. First overall offense. They're the most efficient offense in the NBA. They just click on all cylinders and move the ball well. Derek White is going to it. Well, I know there was talks about him being a potential all-star. So it's a Celtics team, man. They're clicking at the right time for sure. And I'm just intrigued with the matchups when the game slows down. But you get them over there in Boston, man. They're a hard team to beat, man, at home. They really are. I was super excited when we went up there twice and like, oh, we're going to make a statement. Yeah, because we beat them up down here at Amway at the time. It's Kia Center now. Amway at the time. And, yeah, we're going to show them what's up. Nah, they lay it on us. They remembered, like, hey, no, we lost to this team one too many times. Like, nah, this ain't happening, bro. So they came out with a vengeance and reminded us that, hey, we're number one seed for a reason, big dog. So simmer down.
Who was their one home loss to? Do you know?
I literally had that up, and I can definitely tell you. But I do know they have three total home losses, and I want to say one of them was – it was definitely some – I feel like a team – one of the lower teams surprised
me. The Nuggets got them? So that's one. The Clippers got them.
Yeah, Clippers and somebody else.
So Nuggets, Clippers.
I'm pulling up now. Let's see.
And the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Lakers got them. That's right.
So they lost three home games to three Western Conference teams, two of which are, you know, in high playoff, you know, seedings, and the Lakers are still kind of figuring it out in the play-in. So,
yep, gotcha. All right, so who are some of the hottest teams going into the postseason right now? Boston obviously is on that list. Milwaukee's on that list. Denver.
Denver's picking it up.
You know, as I mentioned, I'm going to show love to the Magic, man. The schedule is what the schedule is. I have told Paul on this show that the schedule that Orlando had in January and February was absolutely brutal. And we play a lot of teams that was in the playoffs, a lot of contending teams. Yeah, they got the easiest schedule or one of the easiest schedule remaining. But at the end of the day, man, you play what's in front of you. And so right now they have the longest winning streak since the Celtics went down against. So they played the last five who they played were the Nets, the Jazz, the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Wizards. So none fancy there. The Wizards, we spotted them a 21-point lead and they did Wizards things. They just disappeared in the second half. I guess
21-8 at home though. Y'all are taking care of business at the Kia Center.
You know what's crazy, man? You see that Kevin Garnett footage where you're talking about you come to Orlando, think you come to Disney where all this stuff is sweet. Nah, next thing you look up, you down by 40. Bro. He is not lying, man. Like Orlando sit there and at home, that crowd gets a little ruckus. And what they had against the Pistons, they had the third highest home attendance and Kia Center history. So it's a fan base here that's starving for playoffs, at least playoffs. They're starving for playoffs. They got the fourth best bench in the NBA, 41.7 points. We can talk about Mo Wagner, Cole Anthony. Anthony Black and Jalen Suggs' three-point percentage jump has been nothing but short and impressive. Anthony Black, I know he only takes about two or three a game, but he's shooting at a 40% clip. That's what you want your point guard to do. He wants to take the wide-open shots and look for the smart play and then don't force anything. That's what he's doing. Gary Harris, who was on a cold streak, he's coming on lately. Jalen Suggs, who is a pest on the defensive end and bothering people. Paolo Banchero has had 22 or more points in the last four games, four out of five games, shooting 47% from the field. Franz was slumping a little bit, but he had a really good game against the Warriors last night, had 28 points. They're a top three team in the defensive rating. And their schedule is at the right time. They were just kind of in the midst of it for a while, being in the play-in about 7-8. And I've been telling people that schedule ease up a little bit. They get, I think they're coming up with a stretch where they have like five straight home games coming up here soon. And just take care of business. That's all you got to do. We're resting Jonathan Isaac for a little bit. He'll be back tomorrow. Wendell Carter is questionable, but he should be back. Markel Fultz is on and off with games, so they're resting him. So this Orlando team, man, is intriguing, man. They for a team to have their starters be under 23 years of age, and what they're doing here is just none but short of comparing to what the Orlando Magic front office is building down there at on Church Street. So as a Magic fan, I'm super excited, and you just got to play the games in front of you and then go from there. So, but a lot of good teams in this playoff post run, the Heat are being also at one of the easiest schedules left as well, and they're playing well. They're in a dogfight with the Dallas Mavericks. So, but yeah, even they're playing well. So it's Paul's crazy, man. And once your Knicks come back and get healthy with the guys that y'all got missing, you know, y'all set up for a nice little run to kind of end the season. So there's just a lot of good things going on right now with this playoff run.
It's nice seeing it competitive in both conferences. I know, the West, similar with the East, like there's, almost every week someone's kind of being shuffled around, aside from obviously like the top teams, but Denver's rolling. Minnesota with Carl Anthony Towns going down, they could fall a little bit. I mean, they were up on Indiana. Indiana's come back now, made that into a ball game. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, that's a real good young team. So it's interesting to see kind of where those top four, top five teams go. I mean, like you said, New Orleans is picking it up a little bit. The Clippers are kind of slowing down. They're 5-5 in their last 10. So the Pelicans might be able to catch them if they stay hot. The Suns are figuring it out. I know right now Devin Booker is hurt, but KD is looking like prime KD right now. So, I mean, it's interesting because with the West, like, those play-in teams are scary. Like any one of those play-in teams, Dallas, the Lakers, Golden State, they sneak in there. They could surprise a team in the first round.
Oh, the Lakers just beat up the OKC Thunder last week. I mean, beat them up. I mean, that game was physical with OKC. So Imagine that team going against the Lakers in the first round. It'd be a repeat of the Memphis Grizzlies series the year before.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's nice having all this kind of competitiveness where seeding is really going to be important. I mean, obviously, if you're Boston and they have home court, that's just a huge advantage regardless of who they're going to play in the first round. But some of these other matchups, man, are very intriguing with who comes out of the play-in in the West and who will match up with, like, Denver or, Phoenix or New Orleans. So it every game at this point is really going to be important going forward to the end of the year. And that's what kind of makes it exciting is you're watching these things and you're looking at outcomes and you're looking at the standings, seeing who's potentially playing who. And, you know, any one of those four teams in the play-in, even Sacramento, man, Sacramento's sneaky. You know, any one of those teams can really do some damage depending on who they match up against. So we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, you're not wrong there, sir. So, all right, let's transition to Paul, this guy's thing segment. I saw his new logo, so maybe I incorporate that when I add some video into this and make it work out. But I'm going to give Paul the floor and let him take over for this guy's thing segment.
I didn't really have much planned this week. Not a lot happened. No one really stunk it up too bad. So I'm going to dedicate this, you know, make it short and sweet and just dedicate it to something near and dear to Cortez's heart. And that's going to be the Denver Broncos. I know we're going to touch on them a little bit later on, but shout out to the Denver Broncos, who are now going to be paying a quarterback and a head coach that no longer plays for them. So way to go, Denver Broncos. You know, you hate to see it. You hate to see what happened to Russell Wilson. You hate to see the way he was treated. I mean, they didn't really treat that guy right from jump this year. So just them as a team, man, like that. It you just hate to see it. You know, Russell Wilson's been nothing but a, you know, exemplary guy. Like, he's just done all the right things, says all the right stuff. He's kind of weird, whatever, but the way he was treated when the season started, when they brought in the new head coach, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, he played his ass off all year. I mean, he tried. He did all he could possibly do. You know, they bench him towards the end of the year. And then just to cut him and, you know, just take an $85 million hit in dead cap space is wild. Like, that's a lot of money. And knowing that you're still going to have to pay him this year regardless anyway, I think they owe him, like, probably almost $40 million.
Yeah.
And then you're still paying the expiring contract of Nathaniel Hackett on top of that. So, I mean, fuck it, man. Go to Denver if you just want to get fired and still get paid. That's what the Broncos are doing right now. And you know, sports is a weird thing, but not being able to work it out with a quarterback who's won Super Bowls, who's won MVPs. When your team wasn't that far off from being something last year, you know, they were a couple of losses away from, you know, getting to the postseason. They weren't a terrible team. Lost some tough games. Had some injuries. You know, stuff happened, but you know they're not a bad football team. And these are the kind of things you see from bad football teams. And that's the thing. That's the part that stinks the most. Is they're a team that was figuring it out. Kind of going into the season, they had some expectations, and now they have the behavior of just a bad football team. And like you touched on, you know, a few weeks back, it's going to make it hard for people to want to go there, I think, just seeing the way that Russell was treated. I know they've cut some other guys since, so they're making some changes over there in Denver, but I think it's less about the personnel. And I think it's the people making the decisions, and they're going to have to figure that out. And I just hope that, you know, he doesn't have many years left, but I hope Russell Wilson finds himself a job and gets to go up against the Broncos next year and show them that they fucked up big time. And you know, he could ride his horse into the sunset and go cash that $39 million paycheck. But, yeah, man, so just, you know, to sports teams that just don't, you know, I know it's a business, but there are just some guys and some things that you have to just, you know, do your best to use as examples on how you're going to treat people in the future. And the Denver Broncos just didn't do that. And they have a lot of young guys who are going to be coming up, you know, for extensions and rookie deals and all this stuff. And seeing the way you just treated a guy like that, you're going to lose a lot of talent if you don't know how to take care of your people. So, you know, and I know you'll touch on this stuff later because it's something held close to you, but you know, Denver Broncos, your front office fucking stinks.
You are not lying there. I'm just trying to figure out how Patton still got a job. You negotiate this contract. You saw what you've seen in him. And then to come to this 2 years later and cut him, and now you're $85 million in dead cap, largest in NFL history. And like I mentioned earlier on episodes in this podcast, I went through how they handled this, you know? And people talk, players talk, agent talk, and Broncos probably not going to be a destiny to go in the next few years. And then you cut Justin Simmons, one of the best free safeties, which honestly, I want him to go somewhere and win because he deserves it. This dude is a pro's pro. He meant so well to Diver. He's got the most interceptions versus Pat Mahomes. He plays against Pat Mahomes pretty well. And
that's an accolade right there. That's a good accolade to have.
Absolutely. And that dude just deserves a win, man. So I hope he's finding himself in the right situation and compete in the playoffs and make a run at something. So I'm pretty sure Courtland Sutton's going to be next. Tim Patrick's probably going to be next. And seeing some of the players' reactions on Twitter, Pastor Tan the second tweeted out about Justin Simmons being cut. Nick Benito tweeted out, was shocked and said, "What the hell did I wake up to?" And, you know, this is some costly mistakes that you made here. And Patton has drafted well in the past. He's going to really lean on that now. And one of these quarterbacks that you've seen, you got to get a quarterback. Hopefully we can get Pennants. And then you just go with a bridge gap guy for like the next few years and sign for cheap. And then whenever Pennants is ready to play, plug him in there. But Sean Payton and Patton, I got a lot of work to do, man.
But imagine being Patrick Surtain, right? Like, so they exercise his fifth year option. So hey, we're going to lock you in for a fifth year, and then a week later, they cut Justin Simmons.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Yeah. This guy thinks he's going to have, you know, a primetime guy behind him at safety, and then they're like, no, you know what? We'll let him go.
Yep. So very shot, and It is what it is. NFL is just a business. I know. Lucky DeWalt and Penner Group, they got deep pockets. Walmart, from a financial standpoint, they had a 9% sales increase in sales. I know this because I work for them.
Insider information.
Exactly, and it's just shocking, man. So It's going to be falling down, and I'm expecting Denver's to win 3-4 wins next year, and it's probably going to be like that for the next few seasons. So I'm pretty sure in the future this podcast will be probably this guy's stink segment. It's going to be a lot of Denver Broncos coming up in the near future. So
it's just crazy how fast you can go from the highs of we beat Kansas City. We haven't done that in a long time. We beat Kansas City. We're making a run. We might be able to make the postseason. Just now you're in a rebuild.
Just flat out stinks, man.
Life comes at you real fast in the NFL, bud. I tell you.
Yeah, man.
You know what? I will add one more person does fucking stink, and that's the New York Giants. For not even attempting to franchise tag Saquon Barkley. The fact that you're gonna let that guy leave for free.
Wow.
Is absolutely bonkers to me. You could have signed him, traded him, you could have done whatever, but you have to get something back for a talent like that.
So to
just let that guy leave, a guy who has literally said he wants to stay his whole career in New York. He does not want to leave. He loves it there. You know, he got ties there, all this stuff. And you're not going to even just try to keep him to potentially trade him for some assets is absolutely wild to me. When, you know, season before that, you lock in Daniel Jones to some astronomical contract, and you're going to keep this guy who coming off a rough injury, and you don't know how much that's going to linger and ruin his career. It's fucking tough, man. It's real tough. And some of these projections are saying that he might end up going to the Texans. You imagine giving C.J. Stroud a Saquon Barkley?
Jeez. Thinking about that now, that'd be crazy.
Nico Collins on the outside, Saquon in the backfield, and C.J. Stroud on a team that already, you know, outperformed expectations last year? Crazy. So just, you know, I just want to see more sports teams just, you know, take care of your people. Take care of the ones that put the work in. Take care of the ones that want to be there. Take care of the ones that are going to put asses in your seats. Whatever you got to do. Because now you're putting yourself in a position where you're that's a once-in-a-generation talent you had at running back. And you're just going to let them just up and leave for free. So,
no, that's got to be infuriating from a fan standpoint to see that too, Paul. It's got to be mad infuriating. Just like the asset management there,
and then all because you glorify one position over the other, right? Like the quarterback position is, you have to lock in a quarterback, you have to have a quarterback, give quarterback all this money, and the running back is just this dispensable position, where you have a guy like Saquon who literally, when he's healthy, plays almost every snap of every game. It's just wild to me.
Dude, I can hear the pain in your voice. It's going to be a rough next few years for us Broncos and Giants fan on this podcast. So, all right, let's wrap this bad boy up. We're at an hour, so when it comes to basketball, we just got to get to the points, but, you know, April's around the corner, so I'm pretty sure we get back into the NFL draft. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about NBA playoffs. March Madness is coming up. So a lot of good content on the way. And always excited to do it with this guy next to me. So but make sure y'all guys stay tuned. Should be out next week before I fly out to Toronto. Yeah.
My man's going to Canada.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll be freezing my butt off. I keep looking at the weather up there, and usually I pack a backpack. Now I got to pack a suitcase. I got to pack jackets. So, but I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a cool experience. Super excited about it. So, yeah, man, super excited, man. So make sure y'all stay tuned next week. We'll bring some content out. You can follow the podcast page on X. We're at BIOC Podcast. You can follow me at N-CP, Mr. Matt Hollett.
Yeah, man, I'm on X at @_Paul_Mac, and I'm on Instagram at @DPaulMac520. And holla.
Absolutely. You get the Ball on the Court podcast, Spotify, and go to anchor.fm, Cortez-Paul. We're also on Facebook, type in Ball on the Court podcast, give us a like, comment there. I try to upload a lot of reels. A lot of reels will be on those. We get a lot of content hits, so we'll keep bringing those as well to engage traffic. So. Instagram is also BLC Podcast. YouTube channel is BLC Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast before. It's literally everywhere. We got a link tree that is also accessible. Thanks to Mr. Mac. And yeah, man, anything else you need to add, Mr. Mac? We good here?
Detroit Pistons up by 7 with 38 seconds left, baby. Let's go, Detroit.
Detroit.
Wingstop for everybody. Wingstop for everybody. Let's go.
They actually gonna get 10 wins before the Wizards. Wow. Let's go, baby. We'll see if it holds. So the game I'm also watching right now, the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks up by 8. So hope that holds. Sorry, Kevin. but yeah, nonetheless, guys, thanks for listening. Speaking for Paul Mack. Cortez, Paul, Balls on Court Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your evening and your weekend.
Peace.